Alexia.
Mia.
On behalf of the Melbourne Marshall Monday, I welcome all of you to this Sunday program on Bhagavad Gita, followed by Sunday Feast Prasadam at 6 o'clock. So, it's our usual custom that at this time, at 5 o'clock, we do a small kirtan in the temple. And we have a 45-minute discussion on the Bhagavad Gita. So we are following the usual format today. But before we take our words for today from the Bhagavad Gita, I would like to know whether anyone is visiting this temple for the very first time today. Is there anyone for the very first time visiting this temple? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir? Very first time? What's your name? Shikha. You're coming as a group or? So it's your first time ever? You've been here. You brought her here. So what is the Shikha here? In chemistry. Very nice. Welcome to the temple. Anyone else for the very first time? Oh yes, yeah. Can you please introduce yourself, sir?
Well, I'm Sarvesh. I work for Government of Engineering.
Okay. Government of which department?
Immigration.
Welcome to the program. We talk something on immigration today. Our words talks about immigration. But it's not immigration into any country of the material world. It is how to get immigration into the spiritual world. We talk about that. So, today we have chosen a verse from Bhagavad Gita chapter 6. Text 47. Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text 47. So as most of you will be knowing, Bhagavad Gita has a total of 18 chapters. So today we are talking about the 6th chapter. So anyone knows what is the title of the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Okay. The 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called as Dhyan Yoga. Dhyan Yoga. You know what is Dhyan Yoga? Dhyan means meditation. Dhyan Yoga. So, there is a very interesting verse in chapter 6. I will read out the verse and then the translation and then we will have a discussion on that. So, the verse is as follows. Yoginam api sarvesham. Yoginam api sarvesham. Mat jate nantarasana. Yoginam api sarvesham. Mat jate nantarasana. Shraddhavan bhajate yomam. Shraddhavan bhajate yomam. Same yukta tamoham. Yoginam api sarvesham mat gate antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yoma same yukta tamo mata. The translation. And who is saying this? Lord Krishna is saying all this. Arjuna. The translation. And of all yogis, I repeat, and of all yogis, the one, which means that yogi, with great faith, the one with great faith, who always abides in me, and of all the yogis, the one with great faith, who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me. He is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. And is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Same yukta tamo mataha. Mera mat, which means my opinion. Tama mataha. So, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna, and read the translation again, read this here very carefully. And of all the yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me. He is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So, this verse is popularly called as the yoga ladder verse. You know what's a ladder like? A ladder is used for climbing some heights. So this verse is called as the yoga ladder. Now, why is it called Devayana?
Because in Bhagavad Gita, many people, when they start reading Bhagavad Gita, they get completely bewildered. Bhagavad Gita is talking about so many yogas. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, ashtanga yoga, now what to do? And then finally, bhakti yoga. Right? Which is the process that I should follow? But before we understand all these processes, karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, bhakti yoga, and all these yogas, first and foremost, it is very essential to understand what is the meaning of yoga. So, is there anyone who knows what is the meaning of yoga? Anyone? Yes?
Union.
Pardon?
Union.
Union. Very nice. Yoga means union. So, Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of ISKCON, who you see there on the Vyasasar behind you. So, Srila Prabhupada defined yoga means to connect, which is same as union. To connect. But to connect with what? That is the question. So, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is explaining to Arjuna that, my dear Arjuna, this material world that we live in currently, this material world is like a jail. It's like a prison. Why is it called as prison, this material world? What do they do in prison? What do they do in prison? They confine you to a particular space. Correct? They confine you. What do they use to confine you in the jail? What do they use to confine us in the jail? They use metal bars, right? Rods and big, big doors and big, big lock. And then there is a lot of security guards outside who are pointing a gun. If you get out, they'll shoot. Right? So there's elaborate security arrangements which is made inside the jail so that the criminals cannot escape outside. Right? So Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that this material world is like a jail. Who has created this jail? Lord Krishna has created. God himself has created this jail. What is the purpose of a jail? What is the purpose of a jail?
Keep criminals.
Pardon?
Keep criminals away from the rest of the
world. To keep criminals away from the rest of the world. Which means to keep the law breakers away from the law abiders. Is it clear? That is the purpose of a prison. So in the prison, there are two things which are done. The first thing which is done in prison is punishment. But prisons are supposed to do something more than punishment. And what is that? Reformation. Punishment and reformation. Okay. Of course, the modern jails today don't concentrate too much on reformation. They just concentrate on punishment. For example, I know that in India, we have Arthur Road jail in Bombay, right? The capacity of the jail is some 300-400 people and some 2000 people are locked in that jail, right? Nobody will get reformed. People will go further crazy. To go inside the jail will become a bigger prison. In fact, it is said that once a person goes into the jail, even if he is innocent, by the time he comes out, he is a seasoned criminal. He knows the ways of the world. Right? So he has, with his newfound skill set, he is willing to unleash and then earn money. Nothing is going to stop him. So far from reforming, today the jails are further putting you in hell. Right? But that is not the real intent of a jail. So when Lord Krishna created this jail called as material world, his purpose was twofold. One is to give some sort of minor chastisement, but the major idea is to reform the conditioned souls. Now you may say, what do you mean by a conditioned soul? What do you mean by that? A conditioned soul, in simple language, is someone who is a lawbreaker and who is used to breaking the law. Now here, we are not talking about any mundane law. We are not talking about the laws of traffic rules or whatever. We are not talking about those laws. We are talking about the laws of God, not the laws of man. So right now we are discussing Bhagavad Gita, so we are not going to discuss traffic rules and regulations. We are talking about the laws of God, the constitution of God, the rules which have been laid down by him. So there are two types of people in this world. One are those people who want to abide by those laws. One are those rebellious people who want to disobey.
For example, when we go to college, specifically after 10th standard, when we go to 11th standard, how our attitude changes. Since 10th standard in school, 10th grade, good morning teacher, thank you teacher. And then when you go to 11th,
yeah.
Right? Do whatever you want, come to any lecture where you want. Because the teenage years are also such that you want to rebel against everything. Teenage itself is like that. So there's a song in English, right? We don't need no education. It created a lot of ruckus in a few years back. It was a popular rock song. So teenage means rebellion. You want to rebel everything. If parents tell this, you say no. That's it. Because I want to do it. I want to do something different. I'm different. Every teenager thinks that he or she is different. So, but adults are more different than teenagers. In teenagers, the habit of disobedience begins. But in adults, the habit of disobedience matures. That is only difference. Right? Unless and otherwise, we come in contact with Bhagavad Gita or the Word of God. This book, scripture, whether it is Bhagavad Gita or whether it is Bible or the Quran, any scripture is meant to reform the conditioned soul. Now, when you say lawbreaker, what are the typical laws that someone breaks of God? So, Srila Prabhupada says, four laws are commonly broken by the entire world today. What are those laws? Meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. On Friday, just stand outside the casino for some time, and you will find all these four regulative principles being broken. People are already drunk, they have just gambled, they are there with some partner. One day partner X, next day partner Y, third day partner Z, fourth day you even forget who is their partner. So the whole world is going to drop. The institution of marriage itself has collapsed. There is no law, there is no order. People are just doing whatever they want. Okay. And then after that, on a Friday night, then whatever happens, and then after 2-3 months, the baby is there. And then they say, no, we should have abortion legalized. This nonsense is going on in this world today, right? People want to enjoy but don't want to have the responsibility of that enjoyment. So this is one rule of God which is broken. Because the rules of the scripture say that one must be a grihastha, not a grihamedi. A grihastha is one who has one wife, and the wife is loyal to the husband is loyal to the wife. They produce children for the purpose of making the children into devotees, and they center their whole life around God. Whereas nowadays, people are perverted and all this. So therefore, the world is replete with lawbreakers today. Everyone breaks the law. Because people don't have any understanding of God or His rules. And people don't care. People say, right now it's going, life is going on, first class, enough. Let me just enjoy, that's all. But what happens in a jail? Something shackles you. We discussed, right? It keeps you bound to this material world, right? So what happens? In this material world, sex desire binds everyone. The Lord, He knows very well how to bind. So the Lord has created woman for man. So the man goes, he becomes a teenager, he gets attracted to a girl, then after that he falls in love, she falls in love, then they live together, after that they find they cannot live together. Right? All these things happen. And then even if they live together, the children are born. Then my child, my country, my job, my wife, so on and so forth. So new relationships start getting developed in this world. And these relationships start binding us to this world. Right? So this jail is, we are bound by the ropes of illusion or Maya. This is what has been told by Lord Krishna thus far, till the 6th chapter. Okay. So, what happens is, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna that Arjuna, this world, this material world, is called as Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. Dukhalayam Ashashvatam means this is a place of misery. Everything is temporary here. Even if you get some happiness, it is temporary. It is not permanent. Okay. And why it is not permanent? Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna, it is not permanent because there are four problems in this material world. What are the four problems? Birth, disease, old age and death. No amount of technology is going to solve this problem. Right? No technology will prevent death or disease. To some extent it can postpone the onset of disease. No technology can stop death or old age. You can have recurrency free blood order as such. Okay. So a 70-year-old woman will look like 55-year-old woman at best. Right? It's a recurrency free, which technology and science offers. But old age cannot be stopped. You can use some hair dye, but after Monday, you say after 2 days again the clear hair is going to show. How much can you go on doing? You can't do much. Right? So these four problems are going to catch anyone and everyone. And when death comes, we don't take anything. Our PR, our Australian citizenship, US citizenship, triple citizenship, nothing. You get kicked out of this world. Okay? When death comes. Right? Now, after death comes, what happens? So normally if you ask someone, oh, who was I died? He's a good friend of mine. He must be in heaven now. Right? He must be in heaven now. For example, this is as stupid as saying that if a guy has got thrown out of his house, then his friend says, yeah, he's got thrown out of his house. Very good. He must be enjoying, you know, in Hilton Hotel in Paris. If you get thrown out of house, do you necessarily go to Hilton Hotel in Paris? Why? You should have the money to stay in Hilton Hotel Paris, right? Anybody and everybody is invited to our Hilton Hotel Paris. Come, to Dharamshala, come, all of you. Spoke to them here. So, free of cost, one doesn't get heaven. Doesn't come free of cost. One has to be a law abider to attain the heavenly planet. Because in the heavenly planet, the extent of misery is much lesser than it is in material world. So therefore, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that heaven or further, beyond heaven is the spiritual world. These don't come free of cost. There is a process one has to follow. It just doesn't automatically happen, that's all. Just because someone died doesn't mean that he merits to go to heaven. Right? So it is said, in brief, it is said that if you break the laws of nature, what to go to the spiritual world, you don't even get heaven. We go to hell. Or we fall down into the animal species. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, in the Vedas, it is said that if one is very fond of eating meat and cannot give up the habit of meat eating, this human life is not meant for meat eating. These teeth are also not meant for meat eating. So if continuously one knowingly this rule is there, still break it. Why? I'm used to eating, you know. That's what people are like. Okay? So if you go on eating, then fine, you will be allowed to, but in the next lifetime you have to pay for it. You lose your human form of life. And then you have to go through 8.4 million species before you again get the human form of life. It's not rocket science. It doesn't take too much of brain to understand that human life is rare. What is the human population? Some finite number. How many ants are there in this world? Can't even count. And that is only one species. Multiply by 8.4 million. Divide the human population. Right? Human life is extremely rare. But we don't understand that. We have got a gift of human body. We nicely take a dog in the park. We don't understand. In the next lifetime, we can beat that dog. Right? Of course, it's better to be born as a dog in Australia. You get more respect. But still. So, therefore, these four problems of life, birth, disease, old age and death, nobody can do anything about it. And we get caught in this cycle of birth, disease, old age and death because we are used to breaking the laws of nature. We are so used to breaking the laws of nature that we can't come out of it. Right? Therefore, Lord Krishna is explaining this verse to Arjuna. He says, of all the yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself and renders devotional service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga. So Lord Krishna is telling that you guys, you wanted to enjoy separately from me. You don't want any accountability. You want to do whatever you want. But he says, there must be any yoga. He says that in my kingdom this is not possible. In my kingdom only I am the enjoyer. Okay, you can enjoy with me. But if you try to push me aside and then say that, no, I want your share, that is not possible. Because there can be only one God. Right? All of us cannot be gods. So, Srila Prabhupada explained that at some point in time, the soul develops a desire to enjoy separately from the God, not with Him. We became envious of God himself. We started thinking, why I can't be like you? I also want to do whatever you are doing. I don't want to be a servant, but I want to take your position. So therefore the Lord said, hang on, one second. This is not possible in the spiritual world. I'll create a separate place for you called as the material world. Right? And that's how we are all here. in this material world. Okay? But the Lord said, I am going to send you there to give you an impression, an illusion that you are enjoying. But I am going to give you four things along with that. First, this is old age and death, which will finish all your plans for permanent enlightenment. You can get some temporary enlightenment there. Let's give you an example. And I have given this before also in class. One day, my son is 7 years old. He was telling me that he wants to drive my car. Right? And he was getting cranky. He was saying, no, Daddy, I want to drive your car. No, I love my son. So because I love my son, shall I tell him, okay, take the car and he's going. I said, I won't do that, right? Because he crashed the car and he himself died. And then my life will be miserable. Right? And I also get arrested for that. So obviously I can't just allow my son, because I love him, to do whatever he wants. I know that to drive a car needs a particular qualification. Right? But my son doesn't want to listen to me. He is determined, I want to drive the car. Okay? And he thinks that I am being mean. Daddy, you are mean. Now what do I do? So therefore what I told him, okay fine, you want to drive a car, right? Okay fine. Let me take you to Crown Casino. On the first floor or whatever, there is one. What is that called?
You know it. What is the first floor? That car driving is there. You put $2 and then you can drive a car. Remember that video game or whatever.
So I told him, okay, Daddy will take you there. Okay, you can drive a car there. So he said, oh, okay. And then he came with me. And then I put $2 coin inside. And my son was, And then I was also telling him, wow, you drive really well. But Daddy, see how I'm raising the car. Right? And then at the end of the whole thing, my son is completely satisfied. Right? Has he driven a car? No. But does he think that he has driven a car? Yes. He is satisfied with that. Right? But it is temporary. After $2 is over, then he is crying again. Daddy, it's over. Then I can put $2. How long can I put $2 like that? Right? So that is the nature of conditioned souls in this material world. We are all like that. We did not want to enjoy with the Lord. We wanted to enjoy separately. But because He is our Supreme Father, He said, fine, I will send you to a place where you think that you are going to enjoy, but you will not be enjoying. Right? But you think that, yes, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, my will, everything is running in this world. You can think like that. You will be completely convinced of that. And that is called as maya, or illusion. It completely covers us and makes us think that we are the Supreme Controller. Okay? So that's how we came into this world. So, we have forgotten God and we have forgotten the laws of God. So, when Mataji said, what is yoga? The process of yoga means to reconnect to that God, that Supreme Father, who we have forgotten. Now, Lord Krishna explained that there are several ways in which one can reconnect to Him. So, first process, He says, is Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga means what? The Lord says, Karmane Vadikarasya Mahabhadesh. Many of us know this verse because of the Ramanand Sagar Sahaba. Right? Not because he had Bhagavad Gita. Because we used to watch TV, so you know. So, Karmane Vadikarasya Mahabhadesh. Which means what? Do your activity and don't expect anything. Right? That is Karma Yoga. Hands up if any of you can follow that in this room. Go to your job. Where do you work? Where?
Money.
Money?
The money you work.
Yeah. Where do you work?
Hospital.
Okay. So you can go to the hospital tomorrow. They tell you, okay, come to the hospital. We'll give you work experience, but no salary from tomorrow. Don't expect anything. Just be happy. Karmane Vadikarasya Mahabhadesh. Put money, expect karma. In this world, impossible. This whole world runs with a syndrome called as what's in it for me. People will always ask, first, what is my benefit in doing something? And then only they'll enter in. Even in a marriage nowadays, people are entering, what is my benefit of marrying this girl? How much dowry are you getting? And the girl's father is also thinking, what is the benefit if I give my daughter? Does he have a key or what? So the whole world, even relationships are running on what's in it for me syndrome. Like that. Okay, so there is no genuine love relationship. All flat, blown out of the door. Right? So, karma yoga is impossible in this world for anyone to do. Karma yoga, samadhika, rasya, not possible. Okay. So though Lord Krishna has told Arjuna, but it is not possible for us to follow that.
The other definition of karma yoga is, okay, don't expect any results. That is one definition of karma yoga. Another definition of karma yoga is, do all the work and give the results to me. Now, is that possible? My karma karo, I do all the work and give results to you. I'm a hookah or what? The mind will tell later. I'm doing work because I want some results at least. Right? It's impossible. Okay, and secondly, what happens? Some people also say that, okay, I will give my results to Krishna. Now, I know of many people in India who call themselves as spiritual. I know of one person where I used to live before in Bombay. This person, he was into smuggling. Okay? He was a big smuggler. And this person was into all kinds of nefarious activities. Right? But then what will happen at the end of the day, whatever money he gets, he built a temple for everyone. All his smuggled money used to go into the temple. And then, when people used to ask him, that what is this going on? And he was also involved in some murder and things like that. But he has a very big temple. And he'll come out like a big politician. Like that. And everyone was saying, oh my God. And he'll come up with Lord Kapila and this and that. Very holy he is. Right? So, when somebody asked him, what kind of activities are you doing? On one hand you are doing this, on one hand you are building a temple. Who are you? So he's saying, I am following karma yoga. I am doing whatever activity I want to do and offer the results to the God. You can imagine what it is, right? Suppose Ravana Prabhu is sitting here. Okay. Suppose on his birthday, okay? Then I give him out of my love for him, I take a birthday gift for him. When he opens the birthday gift, he finds a top class mini skirt. I have given him. Can you imagine? Can he do anything with the mini skirt? Obviously not. It's not an apt gift. That's not what he wants. But what I'm saying, you should wear it. I bought it with love for you. I paid so much. I worked in the office. It's that what is it? Guest community mini skirt. Branded one I brought for you. This is called the stupidity. Why? What I'm trying to do is that the activity that I'm doing, I'll do whatever I want. But then I say Krishna or Arpana. The Lord has to go through it. Whether it is relevant or not. This is the distorted understanding of karma yoga of people. So there is a lot of misconception among people's minds. And karma yoga, karmani vadika rashi, mahapadeshu karasana is anyway not possible. So that is ruled out. Then next comes jnana yoga. Jnana yoga means what? Jnana yoga means you have to read the scriptures. Very deeply you have to read the scripture and then you have to understand God. There are four Vedas. Anyone knows which are the four Vedas? Rig Veda?
Yajur Veda?
Yes. Samaveda. Very good. There are four Vedas. Okay. Now, out of these four Vedas are infinite size. So, first of all, if you want to read the four Vedas, you have to study Sanskrit for 12 years. Hands up if you want to learn Sanskrit. Nobody wants to learn. Today I was talking in some other class. Today people want to learn only Java, Internet Technology, J2EE. Anything that helps, SAP, Oracle application, anything that will help you make money, right? Or anything that gives you PR, cookery class, right? So today's education is focused on only fulfilling our material needs. Nobody is bothered whether this education will take me to God. So, Jnana Yoga means 12 years of Sanskrit study is required, first of all. Assuming that in 12th year, you will understand Sanskrit. Okay. And after that, you will have to start reading the four Vedas, which are huge, which will take a lifetime. Assuming you manage to read that, then you have to read 108 Upanishads. And then you have to read 18 Puranas. Right? And then there are so many other scriptures based on this. Nobody has the time to do this Jnana Yoga, Kali Yoga. Nobody has time. If I tell someone, Jnana Yoga is the process, and tomorrow let's all start reading the first Veda. In another 50 years, you will complete everything. All of you will come away from there. Right? So, Jnana Yoga is impracticable for Kali Yoga. That is also ruled out. The third process is Jnana Yoga, meditation. Okay? Like that. Okay? So, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna, the process of Ashtanga Yoga, of realizing God. The very first thing in Ashtanga Yoga, where itself people run away. Is what? What is the first rule of Ashtanga Yoga? Anyone know? Leave your home. Leave my home? My goodness, I just started my mortgage. How can I leave my home? What about my wife? What
what will my child do? What will my partner do? Right? We are bound with attachment for family. We can't leave our homes. The only reason why we leave our homes is Australian PR. There we will leave our homes. Permanent residency. Otherwise, we will not leave our homes. So, this Ashtanga Yoga, first thing is you have to leave your home. Then on top of that, you have to go to a forest. Okay. How many of you want to go to a forest?
Right? We don't want to go to a forest.
Nowadays, the forest itself are depleting. I was saying, you know, in an earlier class, that even if you go to a forest, there is no peace of mind. More than wild animals, you will find smugglers there. Come here from Mumbai village, in the forest also. There is no peace of mind even in a forest. Okay, or some builder will be there. Who will tell you, get lost, I am building some multi-story building here. Some hotel here will be, right? So in forest also, people will not allow you to live in peace. The animals may probably allow us to live in peace, but not the human beings. So you have to leave your house, go to a forest, and sit on a pusa mat. It is made of pusa grass. You have to sit like this, and then you have to bring your eyes together such that they focus on your nose like this. And like this, you will have to do meditation such that your mind doesn't go anywhere. Right? I'll give you a simple exercise. Just for 30 seconds, close your eyes and don't think of anything. Not possible. First thing you think is, oh, Sunday is coming to an end, tomorrow the boss from who is now there. Monday morning I have to see my boss's face. Hello. Friday I was so happy, he left the office. Tomorrow I have to go. Or the university exam is there. Or what will happen to my peer application, my IELTS exam, my God. You close your eyes for 30 seconds, 1 minute, and all your anxieties will come. Where is the question of meditation? Right? It's not possible in this Kali Yuga. And such meditation you have to do for many, many years. Right? To understand God, it's not possible. Now, it is said that even if you do these processes successfully, still you will not get a full understanding of God. For example, you need to understand, and I am going to give you an example, okay, for this. Outside, there is sunlight, correct? Everyone knows it is day. How do you know it is day now? Because there is sunlight. You see that door outside, there is sunlight which is coming, right? If you go outside, then you can see the sun also, which is the source of sunlight. The sun is the source of sunlight. But you have to go outside and see that sun. And then, you can take an aircraft, or whatever, rocket, and then go and land in the sun. So you will have an even better degree of understanding of the sun. There are three levels of understanding the sun. One is the sunlight, one is seeing the sun from the earth, and one is going to the sun planet and finding out where the control buttons are for the sun, from where all the energy is coming. Right? That is the highest level. It's a different matter, we can't go to the sun with this body. But, at a conceptual level, try to appreciate this. So similarly, it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that the Lord, Bhagwan, the subject of God, can be understood in three levels. The subject matter of God can be understood in three levels. What are those levels? Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagwan. The God can be understood in his impersonal feature. Like for example, the sun ray which is there, the sunlight which is there, that is the impersonal feature of the sun. Why? Because sun rays do not have a shape. Sun has a shape, the sun is round, but the sunlight does not have any form. There is no form for sunlight, right? Sun has a form. So, three aspects of God are there. One is the impersonal aspect of God, which means the formless aspect of God. Okay? We call it as nirgun nirakar, nirakar form, formless aspect of God. The second level of understanding God is the form of God, where God comes in front of you. You can have darshan of God. And the third level of understanding God is that you not only have darshan of Lord, but you have a relationship with God. Three levels of understanding. One is just seeing the impersonal form of the Lord. Second is seeing the personal form of the Lord. Third is not only seeing the personal form, but having a relationship with Him. I'll give you a simple example. Okay? When you go into an aircraft, for example, in the business class, and you see Amitabh Bachchan sitting there, or Tom Cruise, okay, for the Westerners here. You see Tom Cruise sitting there. What happens? Wow, Tom! In my aircraft. like that. How many cars? Mera aircraft mein. My aircraft. My goodness. So why does this happen? Why does this mind tell you, oh, Sachin Tendulkar sitting in my aircraft next to my seat? Why does it happen? Where did he get this happiness from? Why? Because we have heard about him and seen his image on television performing various feats. Correct? So therefore, similarly, the subject matter of God is also like that. Now, for example, let us say you are watching Tendulkar or Sachin Tendulkar, who is a big cricketer in India, right? You are watching him play.
You get so much happiness. Now, you are seeing him in your aircraft. Right? You are seeing Sachin Tendulkar in the aircraft. But by chance, when you see Sachin Tendulkar, what's your name?
Jay.
Jay. Suppose Jay is seeing Sachin Tendulkar in the aircraft. And then Sachin Tendulkar also says, hey Jay, how are you? How do you feel? Sachin asks me, how am I? Correct? Now, when did Sachin ask you, how are you? Provided you have a relationship with him. And then Sachin also tells you, how is your headache, by the way? Nowadays you don't get that migraine problem, right? So this is an intimate conversation which he is having with a great personality, which others do not have the privilege of having. Only you can. Why? Because you have a relationship with that great personality. Try to understand this example. Now let us come to God, understanding God. Understanding God has also got three levels. One is seeing just the impersonal form of the Lord, which is like seeing the image of a great personality on television, something like that. And then the Paramatma realization, which is the next level of realization, wherein you are coming face to face with the Lord, right, and seeing him. But simply by seeing Sachin Tendulkar, you will get some happiness. Simply by seeing a great personality, you will get some happiness. But now, when you are having a relationship with that personality, that gives you the ultimate happiness, where you can say that he is my friend. Tom Cruise is my friend, or Ricky Ponting is my friend. That's the highest relationship you can have with that personality. Right? So, the Lord says that the process of Jnana Yoga, even if you perfect, we said that Jnana Yoga you have to read all the scriptures, right? And by that process you have to understand God through knowledge. Even if you attain perfection in Jnana Yoga, what will you achieve? You will only realize the impersonal feature of the Lord, which is like seeing the personality on television, right? If you perfect the next higher process of Jnana Yoga, which means meditation, assuming you go to that forest, sit on a pusa mat for 20,000 years and then meditate, what will happen? The Lord will come in front of you in his Chaturbhuj form, which is just like seeing the personality in the aircraft.
But then, if you follow the process of Bhakti Yoga, the process of devotion to God, then what will happen? Lord will tell you, Jay, how is your headache? Are you happy? Means that by Bhakti Yoga process, you will not only have darshan of the Lord, but you will also have a
relationship
with the Lord. Okay, and that is called as yoga, union. True union between two people is what? Relationship. The entire Bollywood industry runs on this relationship. Last minute you will see the heroine is running from here, Shah Rukh Khan is running from here, in slow motion they are running. Right? And then the hero and heroine come together and all of you are laughing. Like that. Why? Because the relationship is being re-established. It is human psychology that whenever two people's relationships is established, then everyone feels very happy. Right? That's why we go and watch movies. We always want a happy ending. Anyone wants a sad ending?
No.
The hero is dying, heroine is dying in a car accident, and then you come out together and my God, why did I pay ₹20? I don't know, there's a cinema release nowadays. Right? So everyone wants a happy ending. So Lord Krishna is saying in this Bhagavad Gita that Bhakti Yoga will give you that happy ending which you are looking at. It is guaranteed process. In Jnana Yoga and Jnana Yoga, the process is also not guaranteed that it will give you the result. Simply because it's very tough. But Bhakti Yoga is very easy. Not only is it easy, it gives you the highest realization of relationship with God. Now the question is, fine, Bhakti Yoga is the relationship with God. I understood all this theory, but what should I do now? That will be your next question. What should I have to do in Bhakti Yoga? The process is very simple. You see this bead bag here?
You have to just take this bead bag. There is a
bead inside. 108 beads are there. So all you have to do is chant on this bead Mahamantra. What is the Mahamantra? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You don't have to go to a forest. You don't have to learn Sanskrit. You don't have to leave your family. You don't have to leave your job. You don't have to do anything. You just have to spend 6 minutes in a day chanting, and this chanting will deliver you from this material body. It will help you re-establish your union with God. It will help you overcome the 4 miseries, birth, disease, old age and death. And this process is so simple, and the results are guaranteed in this process. All acharyas, all the great souls have concluded this. And here, Lord Krishna is saying, Sahe Yukta Tamo Matava. Lord Krishna himself is saying, such a person who always renders transcendental loving service to me and always thinks of me. How do we think of the Lord? By chanting his holy names. The power of the holy names of the Lord is so powerful that even if a person is born in a family of dog eaters, even such a person can get delivered in one lifetime itself, which through the process of Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga and all these yogas will take several lifetimes and will still give you only the impersonal realization, or at best the darshan of the Lord, but not the relationship. Relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can only be had by chanting the holy names of the Lord. So we request all of you to try this sublime process, the easiest process of self-realization in this difficult world, which is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much for your patient hearing. If there are any questions, we will take it now.
Just want to know why we have only 108 beads in a mala.
Okay. We have 108 beads mainly because there are 108 gopis who merited now. Right? And then Krishna is the central bead. See,
there is a central bead here. So we meditate on the Lord 108 times. 108 represents the 108 gopis. Right? And then this bead is called as the Krishna bead. Right? The Lord is in the center and then all the devotees are around. So that is one explanation at the simplest level. Does it make sense to you?
Not really. What do gopis mean?
Okay. Now gopis are pure devotees of the Lord. Gopis are pure devotees of the Lord. Okay.
This will take a very long, this is a very, this subject matter of what is a gopi, it will take a very long time for me to explain to you. So we can have a personal discussion on it. But very briefly, if I have to tell you, one of the simple reasons why we use 108 beads is because the acharyas, the spiritual masters, have recommended like that. They have recommended to us that this is the 108 rounds, if you do, then that is enough for your deliverance. So initially I would suggest that you accept it as 108. Okay. We can get into the theory, but it will take a very long time for me to explain to us. Then we'll have, now your next question is, what is a gopi? Then I'll tell you the pure love of Godhead, then spiritual world, then Gola Bandha, then you'll ask what is Gola Bandha, and the discussion can go on like that. But if you keep coming to the temple, eventually you'll get your answer. Or we can have an offline discussion. So that others can go for prasadam and then we can have a detailed discussion like that. But right now, I'll answer your question in a slightly different way also. Okay. Suppose we have cancer. Suppose we have the disease of cancer. And then somebody gives you a medicine saying that you are suffering with cancer. And somebody gives you a medicine saying that take this medicine, your cancer will go. Okay. Because you have seen also how the medicine works on other patients. Cancer of one. What will be the first thing that you will do?
Just follow the medicine.
Whether you know what is the ingredient of the medicine and how it exactly works on you, why only 15 ingredients are there in that medicine, whether you know or whether you don't know, medicine will anyway work on you. Right? So therefore, regardless of whether it is 108 beads or 109 beads, if you simply take to the process of chanting, which is more important, then that medicine will work on you. Anyway, so initially what we recommend is, you take this medicine with faith and eventually you will find that this medicine works on you. Even if you don't know the metaphysics behind how it works, it does not matter. Because in Hindi we say, Aam khane se matlab hai kya? Kya hai? Ked? So you just take Aam and eat. Finish. At least, you know, let your misery, put an end to your misery. Eat the mango. Don't worry about how the mango tree came about and how the mango was now hanging on there. Just pluck the mango and take the sweet and eat it. So take the wheat rice. Wheat rice are available from the boutique shop on top. Right? You can buy one wheat. How much does it cost? $1. $10. You can buy wheat and start. $10 for ending the misery of birth, disease, old age and death. It's a really good target. And not going to the forest, no leaving office. You can do everything and then just spend another $10 and then chant this Hare Krishna mantra. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much for your patient hearing. Srila Prabhupada.